is on fire. You didn't know it until it's too late. You can't get, and you're up in the upper story of the house, and you realize there's no way to escape. You hear the fire engines outside, and all of a sudden you see a ladder coming up to your window, and a fireman busts through the window. Comes into your room, and you're standing there, and you're looking at him, and you say, "Wait a minute," says, "Are you happy? Are you joyful? Or are you gloomy? Are you depressed?" You imagine that's how you would respond. Or when he got a hold of you and he took you down the ladder and he saved your life. And your family's there, your neighbors are there, and you're hugging everybody and whatever. And I doubt very much you would even care whether that fireman was happy or sad or gloomy or depressed. Wouldn't matter, whatever. You'd be rejoicing. You'd be full of joy, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? So when Jesus came into the world to become our Savior, what was his attitude? What was his emotions and his feelings about why he had come into the world? Our great God in heaven has given us many gifts. We've looked at the gift of grace. We've looked at the gift of peace. We looked at many gifts, but the one this morning is the gift of joy. The gift of joy. It is a gift. The world can't give it to you. Just like Jesus said last week, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. My peace I give unto you," because the world has no peace. How can they give something they don't have? You have to have it to be able to give it. So I want you to see it again today, that what Jesus was filled with when he came to the world and when he came to the cross, from his birth to the cross, Jesus was full of joy. He was full of joy. He really was. No question about it. And so the salvation of your glorious Savior that he brought into the world is certainly altogether different than the concept of what we see and the attitudes that we experience. When Simeon took that baby in his arms, he said, "Now let your servant depart in peace, before my eyes have seen your salvation." You knew he was blind up until that point. And all of a sudden he could see. And he beheld the Savior. And I'm full, at that point, Simeon was full of joy. Put a scripture back up on the screen, if you will, today. Okay? What does the word "bless" mean? Happy. Just whenever you read the word, the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed." The word means happy. Fulfilled of happiness, okay? And blessed is be the God and Father of our Lord, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a... Remember, we preached that one of the blessings, the gifts of God, is hope, right? This blessed hope, this living hope, how through the resurrection of, from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled. That's what our hope is, isn't it? This inheritance, it's reserved for you. It's there, waiting for you, okay? And it's in heaven, it's imperishable, it doesn't fade away, it's reserved, and you are protected by the power of God. Focus on that. What does it say? What does that just say? Well, what are we protected from? You mean we need protection? Is there an enemy? Do we have an adversary? Do we have a need for God to protect us? The Greek background of the word "protector" is a military word. So that means there's a battle going on. There's a war going on. That war started, if you will, in heaven before this earth was even created. You know, you understand that, don't you? That Satan and some angels believed and began to war against God and his angels and Micah and so on and so forth. That word is a military word, and you and I are what? We are protected. By who? By his power. And if God is for us, who can be against us, okay? So what is the major seed that has to be found within us so that we can understand that indeed that protection is real? We've got to put our faith in the God who promised that He would protect us. Amen? There's no way we can win against the adversary in and of ourselves. But with God on our side, nothing can be against us. We are protected by the power of God through what? For faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly... What's rejoice connected with? Can you see the word joy there? J-O, put the N-Y there. Okay. In this we greatly... What did Paul? Paul said, rejoice, and again I say... Now what do we rejoice in, for crying out loud? That this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. There's something laid up for me up above that God has prepared for me, that eyes haven't seen, ears and haven't heard. God has prepared something far beyond my dream and my imagination, and I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, and I greatly rejoice even though now, even if I'm distressed by various trials, the proof of my faith is being more precious than gold, which is perishable, is tested by fire, may result in what? Praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, if you and I did not have and deal with the issues of life, if we weren't in a battle and we didn't see God time and time and time and time and time again deliver us from it, overcome for us, how would we ever praise Him? What would we give glory to on His behalf if there was nothing that He had to deliver us from, to strengthen us for, to empower us in our inner man? I mean, what would we do? Why do we praise Him and give glory and honor? And it will be at the revelation, that is parousia, the literal appearing, when you and I, every eye shall see Him, even those who pierced Him will behold Him in all of His glory when He comes, right? Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it? Do you realize that Jesus didn't save you for your family? That Jesus didn't save you even for yourself. He didn't save you for yourself. You know why He saved you? He saved you for His Father and for Himself. That's why He saved you. Why? Because Jesus Himself is the aspect and the fullness of God's joy, because Jesus fulfilled every aspect of God's will. And in that aspect, you and I have been saved for God's purpose. And God's purpose is He wants to have fellowship with us. That's why He did it. You and I were at enmity with God, and Jesus came to reconcile us to God so that we could have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The Bible says salvation is more than having your sins washed away, really. It is that having that fellowship with Jesus Christ is the ultimate aspect of what God's desire is. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. What were you called into? Fellowship. Fellowship with who? With the Lord. With God. I mean, that's the whole aspect. You see, forgiveness simply gets everything else out of the way so we can have fellowship with the Father. We can have fellowship with God. That is the whole element of why God's Son came into the world. Listen, 1 John 1. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made very clear, manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. Are you listening? So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. You realize what these men died for? What they gave their lives for? So that you and I could be here today, sitting right here in this place today, and we could be filled with the same joy they were filled with when they fellowshipped with Him whom they touched, saw, ate with, and so on and so forth. And indeed, people, our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He is here. He said that wherever two or three or more are gathered together in My name, what did He say? Huh? I will be there, didn't He? Yeah, when Mary and Elizabeth came together, you remember, and Elizabeth made her greetings to Mary, and Mary didn't even say a word. She hadn't said a thing. And Elizabeth's testimony was that when you and I greeted one another, John the Baptist, Elizabeth was his mother. What does the Bible say? That baby within me leaped with joy. Leaped with joy and the aspects of it. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that this joy is inexpressible and full of glory. Luke 2:10 states, and the angels said to them, the shepherds, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Of great joy, new good news and great joy, which shall be for all people. This joy, He says, the angel said, will be for all people. John 15:11. Gospel of John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus is speaking, that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Okay? So God's gift to you and me today, right now, is that He wants to give you His joy. He wants to fill you with His joy. He wants you to fill you with His joy. This inexpressible joy, it is His to give. You and I are privileged to be the recipients of it. Okay? And John 17:13, Gospel of John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy made full in themselves. What? They may have My joy. My joy. The world will never get. There's no joy in the world. Any joy that there is in Christ. You're not going to find joy in the world. In fact, you can't find happiness in the world. Anybody can take your happiness from you. Anything and everything and whatever can take happiness from us. But nobody can take your joy from you. Understand that? If you keep your eyes on the what? On the goal. The promise. What is it? Eternal life. But no matter what. We don't live for this world. We're not living for what this world can give us, what it has to offer. We're living for what God has promised us that is yet to come. Amen? And that's what we live for. That's what our goal is, you see, because Jesus' glory is seen, I believe, in His joy. We've got to get a vision of His joy and understand that. Because I believe we have a capacity to experience joy. I really do. And Jesus offers it to us. And it's a divine aspect of joy that He promises to us. And He wants to give it and share and pour that joy into our lives. Okay? He desires that more than anything else. This inexpressible joy which is filled with glory. Jesus was all eternity is the mirror, I believe, of God's glory, because He said, if you've seen Me, what? You've seen God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. This is such an aspect of the aspect. He said, of the Son, He says, talking about Jesus, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Did you hear that? I said, did you hear that? What did you hear? God loves what? That which is right. God hates that which is wrong. Lawlessness. Our world is filled with lawlessness. And God hates evil. In fact, you're to hate it. You're to hate evil so that it has and you have no desire for it. But you are to cleave to and you are to love that which is good. Right? He goes on and says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with an oil of gladness above thy companions. You get that? What did God anoint Jesus with? Gladness. Well, how much does gladness and joy, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, you know what it would tell you? Gladness is experiencing joy. Okay? So Jesus is the gladness. Jesus is the joy of the universe. His joy and his gladness is greater than all of the angels that God has ever created. Can you imagine the joy and the gladness that has filled the universe even today? Psalms 19, the Bible says that the heavens and the stars and the universe, that there are voices out there. And what does it say it's doing? It's praising God and giving God the glory and filled with joy. I mean, can you imagine what the heavens... Have you ever woke up in the morning, opened up your window on a nice sunny day, and hear all the birds out there? You know what the Bible says the birds are doing? They're rejoicing with joy to the Creator. You see, the only people that can't and don't, or the only creation of God that doesn't give God glory and experiences joy is human beings. All of other creation, even the trees, give glory to the Creator. You know that? The Bible makes that clear. All of creation gives glory to the one that has made them. Only thing that has is because of our free will. Gladness, joy. Gladness is greater than all the things that God has created, even all the angels together. Wow. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. Well, wait a minute. Anybody here know where God dwells right now? What'd you say, Sue? Inside, in your heart, in your life, right? Do you not know that your body is the temple of God and that God dwells in you? Isn't that what it says? So where is God's presence right now? Well, He's in you. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, the aspect is that God is in us. And in His presence is what? Joy. Joy is to be able to have faith enough to you would know and you accept the truth of this book that your body has become the dwelling place of the Creator God. He dwells in you and joy is in you. And the fullness of that joy and the aspects of that joy. Jesus conquered death for every one of us, didn't He? That's what He came for. His glory is in that infinite aspect of that inexpressible gladness and joy that He now has in the presence of His Father sitting on the right hand of God. And this Jesus, this inexpressible joy that the Bible talks about, however, are you listening? Was a man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. Isaiah chapter 53:3. Jesus said in Matthew 26:38, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Is that imaginable, that this great high priest, this Son of God, the one that was full of joy, still could experience sorrow, and grief, and pain, and heartache, and aspects of it? Well, yeah, because the Bible tells us He's our great high priest, right? And to be our high priest, He had to have done what? He had to experience and be tempted in every way like you are. So He could intercede for us before the Father with empathy because He knows what you feel. He knows what you're going through. He understands it in every way. Do you believe that? Okay. The Bible says he wept with those who wept. And yet he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Didn't he? Yet he wept. Why? Because he saw the power that death had over the human hearts. He was hungry. Did you know that? He was worried. His body wore down. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was forsaken. Left alone. No one there, right? Bible says that. Matthew 26:56. He was betrayed, was he not? He was scourged. He was beaten. He was crucified in every aspect, the aspect of it. He was left naked before human eyes, which was one of the worst embarrassment a Jew male could experience in life. I mean, every aspect of it. This inexpressible joy doesn't mean then that there's not going to be sorrow and grief and pain in this life. You understand that, don't you? Could Jesus be troubled and still be full of joy? Yes or no? Yes. Could he deal with all that he had to deal with and still write a symphony of joy that has filled the world with music? Huh? How many music, how many songs, how many things give glory to God? I mean, they're endless, aren't they? Aren't they? And yet what brought it in the aspect, you see, is the fact is that all through the ages, the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the world is filled. They may not hear it, but man, there's not going to be too many people that haven't heard about Jesus that's got to them all at this time of the year. You know that, don't you? You know what the number one song they say that they play? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Why? They want to fill people with joy. Why do they want people to be happy and filled with gladness and joy? Why? Because that's what makes them buy. Isn't it amazing that the commercial world understands that the happier you make people, the more giving they are. The more giving they are, the more they're going to buy, right? But every one of them, I've heard all types of spiritual words, concepts, being sung to them all through the world today. They have. They do. Yet Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God on the throne of God. How did he face the cross? How did he face what was in front of him? How did he go and how did he endure it? How did he endure what he had to go through? Huh? Joy. He was full of joy, and it was with that joy that he was able to endure. That's what sustained him all the way from his birth to the cross. Jesus was sustained by the joy, that inexpressible joy. And today, that good shepherd in heaven still rejoices and takes joy in one sheep that is lost is found. Do you know that? You know? Just one person who comes back into fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ and walks together with him. The joy, the Bible says that the angels, the heaven is filled with joy over one sinner. That what? That repents and comes back. Why? Because now they've come back into a right relationship where God can be with them, walk with them, share with them, protect them, keep them, sustain them. He can become their strength and their refuge. Amen. God help us to understand that. You see, because the joy, what does it say? Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my... Come on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. What is his strength? The joy of the Lord. Will you let God give you that gift this morning? It's free. It's free. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, "You became imitators of the Lord, for you received the word and much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." You know what you received when you were born again? You all received the gift, the indwelling of what? The Holy Spirit, right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love what? Second one mentioned. Love, joy, peace. Yeah. The fruit of God's Spirit that dwells in you is to fill you with love and joy. You see, God, that's God's gift. He wants to give you that joy, and He's given that power to you to have that joy for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit Himself. God in you, the hope of glory. Remember this inexpressible aspect of it, you see. Why? Because the kingdom of God, according to Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know every one of you here today, you and I live in the same world. We know we have an adversary. We know there's all types of issues and problems and difficulties that face us every day. Be it at job, be it at work, be it wherever. Doesn't matter, does it? What's going to help me to endure? What's going to sustain me? What's going to keep me? I believe it's the same thing that kept Jesus. And with the joy, He endured the cross. Knowing what? The end result. That God did what? God exalted Him. God gave Him a name above every name. God placed under Him all authorities and powers and granted it to the Son, did He not? Does the Bible say? God says, and says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, but they that cometh to Him must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who are seeking Him. How many of you stop seeking? The Greek word seeking is a continuous present tense. That means you are continuing in the mode of wanting to have fellowship with God. Knowing He wants to have fellowship with you. Knowing that's why He came. Why not? What's His purpose? Jesus came to reconcile us, to have us, so we can have a wonderful, beautiful, intimate, personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. Take joy in that. That's where you're going to find joy. And the ultimate end is, you know what? The ultimate end, even though you don't see Him, haven't seen Him, you still love Him, someday you're going to see Him. Amen? In all of His glory. Every eye is going to see Him, but you're going to see Him. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive are going to be caught up in the air, and thus we're ever going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what sustains us. It's keeping our eyes on the end result. That's what sustained Jesus. Even though He knew what He had to endure, and the sorrow and the suffering, and knowing that for that split moment in time, even His Father would forsake Him. He died alone, people, for you and me. And He did it joyfully. And that's what endured. That's what helped Him get through it all, is the joy of knowing what was going to be the end result. You know what it was? That you could have fellowship with Him. That you could become His friend. That you and Him and I together could share and walk together, and no greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Amen? Greater. So where's your joy? We're just going to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Okay? Think about that beautiful song. The earth, receive her King. For every heart preparing room, and heaven and nature sing joy, joy to the world. This inexpressible joy. Isn't that what it said? Inexpressible. You know what that means, don't you? It's hard to put it into words. I'm sorry, I'm limited. And how I can try to help us to understand that we have a Father in heaven and a Son of God, the Savior of the world, who are and want to, and their whole joy is being a part of your life and mine. Individually. Being your God, being your Savior, being your Lord, being your King, being every aspect of it. That's what he wants more than anything else. And the choice is yours. How can you say no to that kind of joy? How can you not want to open up your heart and receive this joy that came to the world and fills the world with joy? Don't you feel a little more joyful right now? Anybody here not feeling more joyful? Have I failed? Thinking about it, okay? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's stand together and sing it. How? Joyfully, okay? Joyfully.